Hello, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hope you guys are having a good week. I know there's a lot of fear going around on the coronavirus and a lot of things. It's just the world's in a state of chaos with this, and just letting you guys be careful. You know, be safe, take precautions. As we always should do, take precautions, and especially with the flu season period, we should always take precautions. That's a number one thing, you know, wash your hands. Don't be around other people that have it. We know the demographics of it. Points to the elderly that are highly contagious or people with compromised immune systems. Stay home. Take care of yourself. And while we're home, I started this study. Maybe a month now, maybe 2 months. Preaching sermon on prayer. And way before this started coming down the pipe that I was aware of, and definitely a month, things have changed a lot, and a lot of people are in their homes now, and businesses are closed, the restaurants were only doing drive-through, non-essential places are closed, but prayer, this has laid on my heart for maybe 3 months now, to talk about prayer and to preach on prayer, and for the church to come back to prayer. And that's way before this pandemic happened. You know, God's hands is in motion. He knew this was going to happen. He knew I was going to preach on prayer, and that because he laid it on my heart, the Holy Spirit, to preach on prayer. And if you're just catching on to this this sermon series, I have them recorded. I have them listed as part one, part two, part three. And what we're doing here is we're breaking down the Lord's Prayer, what we would call the Lord's Prayer. It's most known as the Lord's Prayer, and that's in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, and that would be verses, I'm starting with 9. I've started with 9 and all the way down to 13. And we've been breaking it down in a sermon, to talking about the prayer and how we should pray. When we look at the contents of this prayer, and the disciples, they were right there with Jesus, walking with Jesus. And one of the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Basically, teach us. And when that disciple spoke, he was speaking for all of them. Teach us how to pray. Because they seen Jesus, and they walked with Jesus. And the way he prayed, they wanted to pray like Jesus. They already seen the Pharisees and the Sadducees out there praying. And Matthew 6 actually talks about it before he hits the Lord's Prayer. Or you can say the Lord's Prayer. I'll call this a model prayer or a disciple's prayer. But it's still a important prayer that God gave to his disciples and to us, to understand when we pray, we must hit high points within our prayer. And that's most important. The disciples seen Jesus pray, and they seen when he got done praying and afterwards and what happened. It was prayer that was effective, right? And they seen that, and they wanted to learn to pray like Jesus. And, you know, what I believe in most churches, we have lost that urgency to pray. God's people should be a praying people. A prayer on our lips daily, not a I'm going to pray, you know, for a few minutes and that's it, and I forget about it, and then I go my 8 hours into the work period, or 10 hours or 12 hours, and I don't pray no more during that time. That ain't correct. That's not correct. We should begin our day with prayer. And what the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to pray during that period of time, you should allocate at least 10 to 15 minutes in the morning to pray. If God lays more on your heart to pray, pray more. If He lays an hour before you start your work to pray, pray. But you shouldn't stop your prayer in that morning. It should be continuously. A lot of times I don't say amen in my morning prayer because I want to keep the spirit of prayer in my heart throughout the day. And this is what we're doing, and this is what I'm preaching on. And if you want to backtrack up to the other preaching sermons that I preach on this prayer, is this going to be a fast recap on it? And then we're going to begin the last portion of this prayer. I think it's probably 4 or 5 parts here because there's so much information in this on how we should pray to Jesus. And I believe the church has lost the urgency to pray. We should always be a praying people, a praying that just continues throughout our heart, a worship that comes through our heart all during the day. And what I'll do is I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to pray. And then I'm going to do a recap. I'll do the recap, and then I'm going to start where we left off at. So, Matthew 6. And what I'm going to do is start with 9, and I'm going to work my way down to 13. And after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, just laying our hearts at your feet, recognizing your holiness and your sovereignness. We recognize the power that you have. We recognize that we're unworthy to be called your children, but you choose us to be the children that you need us to be by giving your Son to die on that cross, God, and the blood that was shed on that cross, that sacrifice that made. Oh, you did that for us because you loved us so much. You want us to come to you and to accept that and to believe and to confess that and to believe that Jesus rose that third day and that he was restored and that one day he's coming back. He's coming back for his people, and that time is drawing near. We're as close as any generation has been of the coming of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that during this pandemic and all the people that are hurting and people that are suffering, I pray, Lord, we just pray that your hand is in motion and that who's ever needing a comfort during this time through the worries and to the fear, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your presence is greater than the fear, greater than the worry. We pray that a peace come up on their life, Lord, especially if they're your children. If they're not, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you send somebody to give them opportunity that understands what salvation is and to be able to explain salvation to them, and that they can accept Jesus during this crisis, Lord, and that people come to you. Satan plans this pandemic for bad. We know that you will turn it into good, and you will reach whoever that needs to be reached during this crisis to be able to talk about Jesus, and you will bring people to your name because of this crisis, and your will be done because of this crisis, because everything points to you, Lord, in the coming. I pray, God, you just be with me as I go through this sermon, Lord, that there's nothing special about me. There's nothing unique about me, except that I love you. And that I pray that wherever I speak, that I don't speak out of content, that I speak through the Holy Spirit that reigns inside me. The words I speak is your words and not mine. Forgive me where I failed you. I failed you daily. I'm weak. I lay my life at your feet, Lord. I surrender all. And I pray during this sermon, you give me the words to speak. Because there's not enough prep to preach the word of God. Only through the Holy Spirit that you provide the words and the utterance that people need to hear during this time, God. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. You know, we started out this model prayer, and this is a recap. Verse 9 said, after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says, our Father, we should recognize we have a Father, and he loves his children so much, and he wants to hold us in his hands. A father's love, a true father's love. But we also got to recognize he's in heaven and he's a holy God. And we must hallow be thy name. We must holy his name and recognize he is a holy God. And one of the things I've talked about in the hallowing his name is before you go into the wants and the prayer, make sure you have a moment where you're howling, holding his name. And that could be by just praising and worship. And I talk about that in one of my sermons. We must take time to, you know, cut a song on, a hymn on. Keep a hymn book by your, wherever you pray. And sing a song to him. Take time. If the devil's like, oh, you don't have time, don't do all that. Satan's going to fight you when you're praying the way Jesus wants you to pray. So you know you're on the right path. When you say, well, I don't have time to read this hymn. I don't have time to listen to a song. I got to get up and get going. I got to get my coffee. I want to tell you, we have to pray the way Jesus tells us to pray. We can't pray in our own will. So take time to hallow his name, to hallow the holy his name. Have a song on your lips and a praise in your heart. You should continue that worship throughout the day. Just a silent prayer in your heart, a praise and worship throughout the day. You know, I'll listen to a song, in a Christian song, and that song just stays in my heart throughout the day and just keeps my spirit humble and keeps me moving forward. And I counter something. And then I'm like, Jesus, you got this. And you may rattle me a little bit. Because I'm flesh. We're all still flesh. But if we start out the day right through prayer, the challenges that we face, you will find out that you will handle those challenges differently than you would have if you just got out of bed and jumped the gun and ran out that door. And I don't see what's going on in your life. I don't know how you're praying. All I can tell you is I'm going to preach the word of God. And when you hear these words, if you're not doing it in your life, you can easily say, no, I ain't going to do that. I don't got time for that. This is thus said the Lord, guys. This ain't thus said Jonathan. This is what God is telling his people to pray. And if you choose not to, then that's on you. So we should hallow his name because he's a holy God. But he's also a father who loves his children. And then we go into verse 10, says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Thy kingdom come. You see, as a child of God, this world is not our kingdom. This is actually Satan's kingdom. And we're walking in this world, and Satan, it owns it. But we are not part of this kingdom. Our eyes should be firmly focused on the next kingdom that's coming. And part of our prayer is, pray, God, come back soon. Come back. I'm ready to come home. There's nothing wrong. Thy kingdom come. There's nothing wrong with that. But while we're walking on this earth, we have a part of the kingdom in our heart because we're children of God. So we have that light, the Bible tells us, that should shine within the darkness of this world. Our light should be shining. It shouldn't be dim. Somebody should look across and see there is something different about you. If somebody looks at you and can't tell the difference, that you're just like them, there's problems with your life. There's problem with your light. I hate to go to the extreme. The stream is that you're not even a child of God. And then it goes, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. I'm telling you, God's will be done. We get so fixated on trying to establish our will. Yes, it's like this coronavirus. We have to take precautions. I get that. But our precautions shouldn't trump our faith in Jesus. Because His will would be done. We take the precautions, but we don't lose focus that God has this. The thing rises the problem is when we're taking the precautions and we're not giving God the honor and glory for taking those precautions. We're doing it in our own will. And God sees your heart. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart. And I'll tell you, if this is going on and you think you haven't, it's in your will. Repent. Turn your eyes and focus on Jesus. Because His will will be done as earth as in heaven. His will. Part of our prayer should be, Lord, let Your will be done. That should be part of the prayer. Not my will, but Yours. You're like, oh, I'm scared to pray that. Don't be scared to pray that, because God, as a child of God, we want His will to be done. And of course, it goes into the verse 11, says, give us this day our daily bread. And we start praying. And when we're already in that kind of in that mindset, we've already hallowed His name. We've recognized, we've repented. But part of that hallowing Your name and praising God. And then, of course, we repent of our sins during that. You know, I always take a practice saying, Lord, forgive me where I fail You, or I will fail You. You know, we want to get that sin, that I call interference in our life, out of our life. At that moment, we want to repent. And we go, when we're at verse 11, our mind should be in the right place. And when we say, give us this day our daily bread, our God, Lord, provide the needs that I need, not what I want. What I need through the day to make it through the day. A lot of people will take this prayer and say, hey, you know, now I want a nice house, Jesus. I want a nice car, Jesus. I mean, God wants us to have nice things. But the thing is, we shouldn't be doing that in a sense in advancing our life in this kingdom. In the kingdom of Satan on this earth, material things don't mean nothing unless we have God truly in our heart. And all that material thing should point to Jesus. If you have a car, do more missionary trips. You have a house, nice house, do Bible studies at your house. You're taking that the blessings that God is giving, you're hoarding them to yourself. You have issues. And that verse 11 just tells us, provide for us, Lord. Provide for our needs throughout the day. Not what we want, but what we need. And then we go on to verse 12. And it speaks, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have to be a forgiving people. We have to recognize we can't hold on to unforgiveness in our lives. We got people that have hurt us in our lives. I'm going to tell you, we hurt Jesus every day. Every day when we sin. But He forgives us every day. Every day. Even when Jesus was on the cross and He's been beaten and scourged and He's bleeding to death and He's on that cross. And He looks down at the crowd and He looks down at us because when He was on that cross, He had them in His mind and He had us in His mind. And He said, forgive them for they know not what they do. We have to be a forgiving people. And this leads us to verse 13. And this is the last part of this prayer. It tells us, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When we look at this on verse 13, the first part of this, we see it says here, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I have a question. Does God lead us into temptation? Does He intentionally leave us into temptation? And to answer that question, of course, no, He don't. But of course, we want to go to the Scriptures and not just my opinion. Today we have a lot of opinions out there. And people, I have this opinion, I have that opinion, and opinions don't mean nothing unless you're supporting it with the Word of God. And James 1:13 tells us, that's James 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. So God does not lead us into temptation. So what is going on in this scripture, this part of the prayer? Jesus is telling here that we live in a world and there's a lot of temptations out there. Lots of temptations. And we need to recognize as a child of God, we'll be faced with temptations in this life because this is a corrupt world and we will struggle as disciples did. We will. Guys, we are in a war. We're in a spiritual war. And we're not immune from this war. It's going all around us. And we face temptations every day. It all started in the Garden of Eden. When Eve took of that tree that she knew she was not supposed to. And she bit of that fruit she knew she wasn't supposed to. And then she offered to Adam and he knew better. And a sin entered this world. And because of sin we have that flesh. And we have that temptation. But what the scriptures is telling us here. When we're a child of God. We have to keep that war in our mind. And we will be challenged. But within that challenge or that trial. And temptation here is just simply another word for trials. We have opportunity to rise above this trial. Because the Holy Spirit that lives inside us guides and directs us in the right path. James 1:3-4 says this. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into, here he says, divers temptations. Divers many. Temptation here also can be trials. Many trials. Same words used here is the same word that's used in Matthew. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith work patience. But patience have perfect work. That ye may be perfect. Entirety wanting nothing. Temptations here is trials. Or challenges. How you want to look at it, depending on the Greek here. It means trials or hardships. Jesus knows we will be challenged in this life. And James tells us, James through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writes these words, we should count it all joy when we fall into these multiple trials, these multiple challenges, because we'll have them. Peter, 1 Peter 4 puts it this way, 12-13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Peter tells us, but rejoice. That's crazy, right? And as so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Rejoice because you're suffering. And when the glory shall be revealed, and ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. As joy, I like to put joys, Jesus over you. You see this word joy both in Peter and James' passage. It's the same joy he's talking about. And we should count it a joy when we're going through things in life. When we're going through trials in life. An illustration I was thinking of here. Some of you guys may be in school or in college. And, you know, I don't know about you. When I was in school, I didn't enjoy tests too much. I didn't care much for tests, and I wasn't one of the people that would get excited when you have a test or, you know, a quiz is coming up. Of course, you have one or two in the crowd that would be so excited that they get to challenge their knowledge. I wasn't one of those, and of course, we'll look at them and like, really? You want to be tested? But when we think about it, but without a test, would we really study? Will we really study if we knew we were not going to be tested? You know that test is coming up, right? So you get serious about it. And you start taking the precautions. And you start taking, you know, you start studying the material. And you start studying you're studying the topic. And you're actually gaining all this knowledge. See, without the test, we do not learn. Without the test, we do not grow into the disciples that Jesus needs us to be. We have to have the trials. We have to have the hardships. We cannot grow in Christ without being tried, without being tempted. We have to have the challenges. If you look at the four Gospels, Jesus was tested and tried, and it says in every way, and he overcame. If you look at the other part, it said, deliver us from evil. Jesus' teaching, wherever we're going through now in the future, he pries us a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us this. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That we may be able to bear it. Yeah, there's my dog going off. My little Cali girl. But to able to bear it. See, God provides a means of escape. The Holy Spirit that resides in us. So He does not lead us into temptation. But he allows temptation to grow us, to make us into the people that he needs us to be. He has to test us. He has to challenge us. If not, we will lay there and we will not grow in Christ. And the whole point of discipleship is to grow in Christ. And when we look at this, this is also part of the prayer where we look at it and we pray for protection and strength when we're going through things in life, when we're knowing we're going through things and we got loved ones on our minds. Even this is a good point to do an intercessory prayer, meaning you have people on a list. I carry a list with me, or I have my list, and you start praying over these people. And you let the Lord lead you to pray. You know, you may have somebody in your household that don't know Jesus. Or you may know a Christian in your life that's immature. And you just keep praying. You say, Lord, I know there's something going on in their lives. But God, I give them to you. I pray that wherever's going on, like you guide and you direct them to the Word of God. Or you provide somebody. That gives you opportunity to start praying an intercessory prayer too at this point. We should pray for others during our prayer. I like using specific names. It takes longer. The list grows. But that's me. Sometimes you can spend 30 minutes just praying on people that you've written down. But we should be a praying people, right? And then we look at the last part of this. It said, "For thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." See, we're ending this prayer as the way we started, with praise and recognition that our God is awesome, holy. He deserves our praise and worship all throughout the day. "For thy is the kingdom." We recognize Jesus is holy and he has power. I recognize his power, and he has glory, and he has honor. And you're hallowing his name again there. You're saying, "You got this, Jesus. And I'm laying everything at the line on it, Lord, and forever." And I pray for the strength to get me through this day. And you just, you can carry that throughout the day. We pray. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. We should always have a praise on our lips and a song in our hearts. You know, I love Christian music. I keep songs in my heart all during the day. You know, open my heart and mind to the Holy Spirit throughout the day. It's easy to get busy, right? And I preached a sermon on this. You probably can trace it. Busy is being under Satan's yoke. We're too busy. And you know who I'm talking about out there. You're listening to this. You know. You can fool me all you want. You can fool your pastor at church and go about your home and doing all things. You can not pray. You can stay busy. You can pretend to be something you're not. But Jesus is looking directly at you every day. And he knows exactly what you're doing. And when you have the Holy Spirit living inside your life, he will correct you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in your life, you're not a child of God, and he will not correct you. The only reason, the true purpose on this life, is to show the glory of God in our lives to all around us, and to reach this world that is struggling, that is hopeless, and the darkness that is surrounding them. For our light, the light that's inside us, should shine so bright throughout the darkness that others notice. And as I close today, I don't want you to leave here, or I don't want you to just thinking this is a beautiful prayer, and because prayer is powerful and the Word of God is beautiful, and every word matters to us today. Every word does matter. But I want you to get real with yourself today. And I want you to ask yourself these questions. What does prayer mean to you? Do you really pray like this? Or if not, why not? Now, with this said, the Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us in our prayers. But the thing is, guys, are we really in tune with the Holy Spirit? Will we find that prayer? Do we find the components of this prayer in our life? Is Jesus really living inside us? Now, there was a story, an illustration I'd like to share with you. There's a pastor and a church member, and the pastor was at home on a cold night, and there was a knock on the door, and he opened the door, and there was one of his church members. Let's just call his name John. This is a true story. And he's been absent from church for weeks, and as the pastor invites him in, and there's a little fire. He has a little fireplace there, and two chairs. And he invites the John in, and they sit down, and they're looking at this fire that's dying out. You know, you have the coals, the flicker of a sign of a little light in there that you can, And John starts telling the pastor how he felt like he's burned out in this life, And as John is speaking, the pastor, he just throws a few logs into that fire, and he strokes the fire with a poker, and the fire starts catching on. You can see the gold, they're getting hot, and the logs are starting to ignite with fire. And the pastor says this, "How's your prayer life?" You see, when we not take time to pray, when we let this world keep us so busy, our light as the coals that were dim, we get burnt out. But when you take time to pray every day, and I'm not talking about this little 2-minute prayer, and oh, I'm good for the rest of the week, or I'm good for the rest of the day. I'm talking about when we really pray, a fire ignites inside of us. A light starts to shine that there's nothing in this world that can put it out. There's no coronavirus or what next thing will happen. I guarantee there will be these things will intensify. It will intensify, I promise you. I want to tell you today, if you slacked off your prayer life and now it's cold and light is dim, I want to tell you today, you can ignite the fire. The light can start shining brightly again. When you pray like Jesus, your eyes and hearts will start seeking all the opportunities around you throughout the day to tell someone about Jesus. If you go a whole week without telling someone about Jesus, you have missed opportunity. Jesus has laid out for you. Make prayer the first priority of your life every day. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening. Hope this touched your heart. I have a comment section there. You guys can reach out to me on my website and send me a message. Also, my Facebook page. You can contact me through my Facebook. I do have a phone number there too. Address there if you want to send me a letter. Also, if anybody that would like to sponsor this ministry, you have my address there, or you know, you can call and talk to me to sponsor this ministry. I believe ministries like this are very important. You got too many big ministries out there that are not truly lost the in touch with God. They're not connected, but people keep sending them money. As you guys bow with me and we pray, Heavenly Father, as we just come today, just thanking you for the Word of God, speaking through the words and the text and not giving our opinions, but just giving the Word, what the Word of God says. I pray, Lord, that we just be a praying people, that we just come to you where our hearts wide open and laying everything on the line, Lord. I pray that those that have not accepted Jesus into their life, Lord, I pray that you send whoever you have to send to reach whoever that needs to be reached. To release the satanic grasp of that person that Satan has, and to come into the loving embrace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, during this pandemic, you be whoever's needing it. I pray over the people that have this coronavirus, Lord. I pray, Lord, that within your will and your design, Lord, that your healing be done. For nothing is done without your will and without your design. I pray, Lord, once again, Lord, that you just be with us throughout this week, Lord. You guide and direct our steps to reflect the glory and power of your name. And we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Hope you guys have a good weekend.